Chapter 6. Cora sleeps in the bedroom that night. She seems a little surprised at the way they have things set up. Like she hadn't expected a pack with a human alpha to understand the way a wolf pack would want to curl up together at night. But she doesn't say anything about it. Stiles doesn't tell her to sleep elsewhere because he doesn't want to force Derek to shift between wherever she sleeps and wherever he sleeps and be a zombie the next day. He doesn't bother to ask the others to set up a watch because he knows they will. None of the others will be comfortable with the idea of her sleeping near him. She's been less hostile over the past few hours, but that's not much of a qualifier, given where she started. He would offer to take a shift, but he knows after the strenuous physical activity of the day, nobody would let him, so there's no point. But he's determined for the next day to be a normal one. So when he wakes up from a bad dream around 5 a.m., he just gets up. He starts baking and makes the cinnamon muffins that Derek likes so much. He leaves the rest of breakfast until after the morning drills. Derek comes down around 8 a.m., along with Isaac and Allison, who are both early risers. Before long, the rest of the pack are up and milling around. Cora comes down looking a little fuzzy and confused, like she didn't remember what it was like to get a good night's sleep, and her body isn't sure how to handle it. Derek passes her a mug of coffee and tries to get a look at her calf to see how much it's healed. He's glad to see that someone has loaned her a pair of loose gym shorts and a tank top, clothes she can work out in, and he won't have to argue with her over what she's wearing on top of whatever else he's sure she plans to be snippy about. Erica's gaze lands on the muffins. "Breakfast?" she asks. "Drills first," Stiles says simply.
"But not for you," Derek tells him,
and then hands him a mug of coffee to hold off any arguments. Stiles argues anyway.
"I'll take it easy."
"What drills?" Cora asks at the same time.
"Self-defense drills 2 or 3 times a week. Combat 1 a week," Derek informs her,
before turning his attention to Stiles.
"No, maybe if..."
He cuts himself off, because he knows why Stiles got into a fight with Cora, and he isn't in a position to argue about it. But on the drills, he can argue.
"Just no, not this week."
Stiles huffs out a sigh. "Okay, fine. But I will be starting again next week."
"I'll let you take it up with Melissa,"
Derek replies, deciding to just be a coward and get out of the line of fire. Several people give snorts of laughter at the way he's dodging the bullet.
"Oh yeah," Stiles says as they head outside. "I made those cinnamon muffins you like. It'd be a shame if something happened to them."
Derek stops mid-step and gives Stiles a look that he hopes conveys how sorry he is, even though he won't back down on the issue of Stiles' safety and well-being.
"I'll put in a good word for you, okay? Just don't hurt the muffins."
Stiles fake sulks for a minute, but then laughs. "Yeah, okay," he says.
"Go do your stuff. I'll just make breakfast."
As the rest of them head outside, Cora looks at Derek with a raised eyebrow and says,
"Don't hurt the muffins?" "Screw you. Those muffins are my favorite,"
Derek says, although the words are without heat. Cora just raises her hands in surrender while there's a chorus of giggles from the rest of the pack. Derek narrows his eyes at them.
"You're all the worst," he proclaims,
but he leads them out into the usual place on the lawn.
"Just start with the basic stretches. We're going to go a little slower than usual while I walk Cora through the routine."
Derek stops next to his sister to start stretching out the muscles in his shoulders and arms. He obviously expects her to follow suit, and she does.
"So everyone does this?"
she says, looking around at the group. Jake is groaning a little while Allison pushes on his back to help him reach his toes. Lydia has a hold of one ankle, pulling it up over her head while several of the others watch in admiration. She looks bored.
All the others are doing their own stretches, without prompting.
Yep.
Derek rolls his neck a little, although it's more to get the kinks out of it than an actual stretching exercise.
Not everyone is a fighter, but we'll be damned if anyone is going to die while waiting for help to get to them.
That's good, Cora says. Her jawline firms up a little, and she says, I mean, that you have a training program. You should.
Derek moves on to touching his toes. He'll take the compliment, as awkward as it is.
No one had any combat training before joining the pack, except Allison, and she only had a little. Everyone who's a wolf besides me is a turned wolf, so they didn't grow up knowing what to do with these,
he adds, gesturing with his claws.
Naturally, like you and I.
Yeah, well, Cora says, I guess it's a good thing it came naturally to me.
I'm sorry that you were alone, Derek says. He doesn't think she meant it as an insult, but still, he has to respond to it. I'm glad you decided to come find me.
Cora doesn't reply, per se. Instead, she just finishes stretching and says, If you guys are really that awesome, you'd better teach me something new.
Allison looks over, her eyes narrowing, and then a bright smile spreads over her face.
I think I can handle that, she says brightly.
A little too brightly.
Scott clears his throat and intervenes. Maybe you should keep working with Lydia and Mac, he says. I can work out with Cora and Isaac.
Allison's eyes narrow.
You're lucky I love you, she says, and flounces over to the others.
Oh, jeez,
Scott says, watching her go with a hangdog expression. I'm gonna sleep on the sofa for a week now. Isaac rubs at his curls.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even sure groveling will save you.
Offering sexual favors might, Erica calls over cheerfully. If you need suggestions, let me know.
That would at least be something new to teach Cora, Scott mutters, and several people burst into giggles.
Derek looks like he has a headache coming on.
Erica, I'm pretty sure that at least half the things you do are illegal in most states.
Lies! Erica says in mock outrage. Slander! Calumny! Which, by the way, what the fuck is calumny anyway?
It's basically just another word for slander, Derek tells her.
Cora is standing there impatiently. Are we gonna work out or what? She asks. Allison whips around. Lydia stops her with a hand on her arm, whispering something in her ear that causes her to subside. Boyd hastily intervenes and says,
Yeah, we usually start with some drills, so...
He gets them going. Cora huffs but goes along with their routine of jumping jacks and push-ups that get them all warmed up. When they do break down into groups, Derek ends up going with Danny and Boyd, trusting his sister to Scott and Isaac. He actually feels a little bad for them, not because his sister is so good, although he allows it's possible, but just for having to deal with her attitude. They do all right, though. Once they're in sparring mode, down to business, as Cora would put it, she settles down some. They're werewolves, betas like her, and thus her equals.
You guys are actually pretty strong, she says, somewhat reluctantly, after her second round with Isaac.
I mean, I've met a lot of packs and sparred with a lot of werewolves, and I haven't met many as strong as you. That's not exactly a surprise to the pack. Each member adds strength to the group, adding together into a greater whole. They're a medium-large pack that's tightly bound. Even those who haven't seen much combat, like Danny and Mac, are stronger than the average beta werewolf.
In all fairness, I'm one of the enforcers,
Isaac says, although he knows it isn't that simple. And because we're really close, Scott says, thinking that Cora might honestly not know. He can remember how much weaker he was at the beginning, while Peter was still Alpha, and it had nothing to do with how recently he had been turned. Close enough that even the humans in the pack get a boost. Cora's jaw sets in that expression that's growing familiar, the mask of anger she wears to hide her pain. Yeah, most of the packs I've known haven't really been like that. It takes work, Scott replies, and then shrugs. I don't know how normal it is either. He's about to say that, to a certain extent, they pay for it too, with the sheer need for closeness that they had, but then decides against it. No one trusts Cora enough to give away information like that if it isn't common knowledge. What kind of work? Cora asks, with a note of sarcasm in her voice that actually comes close to pure hail sass. Do you guys hold hands and sing Kumbaya? Pretty sure that Stiles knows all the words to that, actually, Scott says.
I never really thought about it having words, Isaac adds.
Well, for God's sake, Lydia says, looking over from where she's working with Allison, don't you dare go in there and ask Stiles, because he will demonstrate, and nobody wants to hear him sing.
I'll just, you know, look it up, Isaac says hastily.
Cora fiddles for a minute. But how did you... I mean, most of the packs that I've met, they're not close like this because they just wanted power. That's why they turned others, and that's why people who became betas chose to be turned. You guys don't seem like that at all.
This question attracts some attention. Several of the others look over. I just wanted a family, Isaac says, and some of the others nod.
Some of us were turned against our will by other alphas, so we know the whole doing it for power thing is kind of bullshit, Scott says, carefully not mentioning that one of those alphas was Peter.
Maybe that's why it's different, Cora mumbles,
and then aims a vicious kick at Isaac's knee while he's distracted. Isaac takes the hit, but grabs for her to yank her off balance and take her with him. They grapple for a few minutes before she grudgingly admits defeat. But the exercise seems to have mellowed her out some. She certainly doesn't protest breakfast. Stiles has supplemented the muffins with a gigantic pile of cheesy scrambled eggs, and everyone starts stuffing their faces. He's too keyed up to eat himself, and mostly just shoves his eggs around on his plate while he talks. Okay, folks, here's the long and the short of it. There's no sign of Deucalion on our territory, or anyone else. Everything's been quiet, no upswings in crime or calls to the police. Cora, I gave your description of Deucalion and his second to my dad, and he's had his officers on the lookout. As far as we can see, he's just not here. At least, not yet. He stops and lets out a breath. Now, I don't know if the rumor you heard was incorrect, or if he's lying low, or what, but we can't hide here forever, so I'm calling off lockdown. As of now, we are under the buddy rule. Groups of three would be better if possible, and I still want everyone staying at the den by sunset. Is this going to be a problem for any of you with jobs?
You guys seriously want to come watch me drive a Zamboni, right?
Boyd asks, and several others laugh.
Seriously, I don't work until Friday, so I'm at least good today and tomorrow.
I don't mind hanging out at the rink, Erica says. Good place to pick up guys.
How are you going to have sex with anyone if we're under the buddy rule?
Lydia asks archly. Erica's eyes go wide. Shit! Stiles, you're responsible for making sure that I don't go nuts. Are you kidding? Sex with you is at least three times as strenuous as the morning drills that you guys still won't let me do,
Stiles says, amused. But all joking aside, Erica, Lydia is right. I don't want any of you going alone with a stranger. Alphas can hide their presence, and that makes us all vulnerable.
So you're gonna have to go without for now. You'll make it. He glances around the table. Allison, Mac, Any conflicts with your schedules?
I can do all my web design stuff from wherever my laptop is, so I'm good, Max says. I don't have any more tournaments this summer, so I'll miss some lessons, but that's all, Allison says.
Styles nods.
Scott, like usual, you'll be fine at Deaton's without company. Just make sure you don't come and go by yourself.
He's quiet a minute.
I think that's everything. Obviously, if any of you hear or see anything unusual, report it immediately.
There's a round of nods. Boyd and Isaac start cleaning up the kitchen. Derek is about to help, but then he gets a text. He glances at his phone and smiles a little. That soft, genuine smile of his. Then it quickly turns into a frown.
What's up? Styles asks.
Oh, it's Jennifer, Derek says. She thought we could meet for coffee, but I guess...
No, you should go, Styles says, shoving back his jealousy as unreasonable. You can't stay cooped up in here any more than the rest of us. And I think some time to decompress might be good for you. You know, get away from all this for a couple hours. A couple of the others can just go hang out in the coffee shop. You know, shadow you or something.
I'll go, Danny says. I've got a craving for a caramel macchiato anyway, and I can bring my laptop.
Me too, Lydia says. To the caramel, not to the laptop, but I'm sure I can keep myself entertained.
Well, if you're sure, Derek says,
more to Styles than to either of the other betas. Styles isn't sure at all. He hasn't met Jennifer since that day at the gallery, and he's trying to stay out of this because Derek has a right to this, damn it. He has a right to friendships outside the pack and casual sex if he wants it. He can't explain the burning jealousy. He knows it's irrational. And so he's staying as far away from Derek's friendship with Jennifer as possible.
Sure, I'm sure, he says. I've got some letters to answer, and then I'll probably take a nap. So it'd be boring to hang out here anyway.
Okay, Derek says, smiling again, and leaning over to rub his cheek against Styles' hair.
Cora sits there looking awkward and left out. Mac offers her a bright, friendly smile and says,
So, do you have any stuff with you? I mean, you had to borrow clothes from Erica, right?
Yeah, I guess, Cora mutters.
Why don't we take you shopping to grab a few things then? Allison suggests. She still seems pretty annoyed at Cora in general, but her kind-hearted nature is taking over. The more time goes by.
We could go down to the mall for a little bit.
No, you shouldn't, Cora says.
Good. That's settled, Max says.
I'll drive, Allison agrees cheerfully. Styles smiles at them and makes a mental note to make sure they both get something baked that they like in the next day or two as thanks for them making Cora feel welcome, even after everything she did.
Have fun!
Things settle into an uneasy truce for several days. Nobody is exactly happy with Cora's surly presence, but they're not trying to push for more than she can give. Styles reminds himself of what Gwen had told him several times a day. Cora has had a rough life. He needs to take it easy on her. Which actually isn't so difficult, since she doesn't want to be anywhere near him. She hangs around Derek, but always in the background, like a shadow. When Styles shows up, she often huffs away. She'll tolerate him, but she certainly doesn't like him. It's clear in everything she says and does that she still thinks that Styles isn't good enough for her brother. Styles is getting used to it. To be honest, it bothers Derek more than it bothers him. He sees Derek open his mouth to say something, then grimace and look away. The others aren't exactly oblivious. Styles has to start making sure that Cora and Erica are never in a room together, because Erica hates Cora with a screaming passion that cannot be put away. Scott has a tendency to talk loudly about how awesome Styles is whenever Cora is around. Everyone is tense, and there still hasn't been any sign of Deucalion, and Stiles is starting to get anxious about it. He's leaving for school in less than a month. He has a million things to do. He doesn't need this right now. In an effort to clear the air a little, he asks Cora to go for a walk with him, out on the preserve. He thinks that the chance to talk privately might get her to get some things off her chest. But she stalks along in silence, just as moody as ever. So Stiles talks, because he doesn't like silence. And he talks about Derek, because he thinks that's what Cora really wants to hear about anyway. He tells her about Derek getting his gallery set up, about the look of amazed joy on his face when he sold his first piece to a stranger, and when he won an amateur art contest about 6 months after Stiles became Alpha. He tells her about Derek deciding to build the den, and all the different plans and blueprints they cycled through as things got added to the structure. He tells her about when he and Derek had talked over the whole Lupa issue and made peace with it, and how lucky he is to have Derek in his pack. She's actually starting to relax a little, and even asks a few questions, like how they chose the other pack members and whether or not Derek still sleeps on his back with one leg in the air. Stiles keeps chatting with her as they wind their way through the preserve, but he's starting to get an edgy feeling, the kind where the hair stands up on the back of his neck. He starts steering them back towards the house, careful to be subtle about it, rather than just turning them back around. He's considering texting Derek or Allison when they come around a stand of trees and see a man standing on the path about 10 feet away. He's tall, head and shoulders above Stiles, and the tank top he's wearing reveals impressive musculature, more than any member of Stiles' pack. His head is shaved completely bald, and he's shifted the tiniest amount, just enough to show his fangs. Cora sucks in a breath, and Stiles thinks that it's a good bet that she recognizes this behemoth, whoever he is. His own senses have gone on high alert, because the alpha in front of him isn't trying to hide his presence anymore. He can't feel any others, though. Just this one. He goes tense, and then his muscles relax as he gives the guy a nod and says, "Hey!" The guy just sneers at him as he starts forward. Polite conversation clearly isn't his forte. Stiles would prefer to put off a fight until the others can get here. He can take care of himself. But still, there are limits to what he wants to take on alone. But that clearly isn't going to happen. "Ennis," Cora says, taking a few steps forward, raising her hands in a gesture of supplication. "You shouldn't..." The man's arm shoots out and catches her across the stomach, flinging her into a tree. She hits it with an oof noise as the air is knocked out of her lungs, and then goes sprawling on the ground. It takes less than 2 seconds, but it's more than enough time for Stiles. He takes the little vial out of his pocket, popping the cap off with his thumb, and dashes the liquid into Ennis's eyes just as the Hulk turns towards him. He lets out a noise that's almost a roar, as much pain as rage, and staggers back a few steps, clawing at his face. Stiles drops to the ground, taking out his knife as he goes, and slams it down into the man's foot with all his strength. It goes clear through his foot and several inches embedded into the ground. "Jesus fuck!" Ennis swears. He tugs on his foot and then makes a strangled noise of pain as the silver in the notches of the knife grinds into his skin. "So, about that pleasant chat I was trying to have with you," Stiles says, as Cora manages to scramble back to her feet. Ennis swipes at him with one hand, claws out, and Stiles just ducks backwards and gives him an unimpressed look. "Dude, if you want that knife out of your foot, you're gonna have to calm down." "Fuck you!" Ennis retorts, and tries again to free himself. But he can't use his full strength with the silver pinning him down. "Play nice," Stiles says. "I've got 3 more vials of Wolfsbane where that first one came from. If you don't want me pouring one down your pants, you're gonna have to pay attention." Ennis growls at him, but subsides, giving Styles the sort of glare that promises mayhem and murder later.
So my guess is you were sent here to grab me and drag me back to see Deucalion, so he can recruit me for whatever little boy band he's got going on, Styles says. Nice try. Tell him if he wants to see me, to try doing the civilized thing and giving me a call on this newfangled device called a telephone. He can leave a message for me at the sheriff's station. I'll get it. Give me a time and a place, and I'll show. Think you can remember all that?
Ennis bares his teeth, but then sullenly nods. You're gonna regret this, kid, he snarls.
I've heard it before from scarier people, and still, no one's ever been able to follow through.
Styles glances up. His pack is approaching.
I'm gonna take this knife out of your foot, and you're gonna beat feet, because in about 15 seconds, the rest of my pack is going to be here.
He crouches down and yanks the knife out. Ennis howls in pain, then shakes it off, snarls one more time, and limps over the rise. Styles quickly ascertains that Cora is only bruised, not concussed, or otherwise badly damaged. Nothing seems to be broken, and she's steady on her feet. She clearly thinks he's completely out of his mind, but Styles doesn't let that bother him. He's used to it. Moments later, Derek comes running up in his wolf form, shifting as he skids to a halt.
Are you all right? He demands.
Cora blinks between the two of them.
How?
Tightly bound packs can tell when someone is in danger,
Styles tells her.
Yes, Derek, I'm fine. Not even a scratch.
Derek looks over at Cora.
You?
He asks. His gaze shifts over their shoulders to scan for any enemies while waiting for an answer. Cora bristles.
I didn't lay a finger on him, she snaps.
Derek's eyes roll so hard that it's an actual full head motion.
No, I meant, are you okay? Are you hurt?
Oh. Cora shifts from foot to foot as the rest of the pack runs up behind Derek. Most of them are at least partially shifted.
No, just a little bruised.
Scott immediately moves forward to check her over, but gives Styles a questioning look. Styles glances at Cora and says,
That alpha tossed her into a tree, but she bounced right back. Not too bad.
This makes Scott relax.
That'll heal then, since it was collateral damage and not a direct injury.
Allison and Isaac move over to stand by Styles. Isaac is partially shifted, and Allison has her bow in her hand.
You need us to go and take care of him? Or her? Whatever?
Allison asks.
Styles gives his head a shake.
I gave...
You are fucking crazy!
Cora interrupts, now having recovered enough from her shock to express her opinion about what had just happened.
Are you out of your goddamn skull? When you have an alpha down, you kill that son of a bitch! You don't just let them go!
Isaac and Allison turn to Cora almost in unison. Isaac looks a little affronted at the interruption, but it's Allison who speaks.
Okay, I'm starting to like you more in general, but did you just interrupt my alpha when he was dealing with pack business? Shut your mouth before I shut it for you.
Cora opens her mouth as if to say that she'd like to see Allison try, but then she apparently remembers the way that had gone with Styles, and looks away, scowling.
It was still an idiotic thing to do, she snaps.
Hey, how about you?
Isaac starts.
That's enough,
Styles says, but he reaches out and gives Isaac's forearm a squeeze to show that he's not angry.
I gave him a message to take back to Deucalion.
Isaac steps a little closer to Styles, but he doesn't tense up. So he clearly got the message that Styles isn't angry.
What did you do to convince him to carry it?
Styles grins a wolfy grin and says,
Let him go.
Allison slings her bow over her shoulder and crosses her arms, giving him an expectant look.
Styles sighs as if to say that nobody appreciates his sense of drama.
Then says, I nailed him in the eyes with Wolfsbane, and then pinned him to the ground by putting my knife through his foot. He seemed really pissed off about it for some reason.
Cora is just staring at them.
Crazy! You're crazy!
Yeah, Stiles agrees. I can't really argue.
What was the message you sent? Isaac asks, shoving his hands into his pockets.
That if Deucalion wants to meet with me, to do something civilized, like send me a message through the sheriff's department, rather than sending his thugs onto private property.
I'm going to start tasing people. Derek huffs. Is that legal?
You know, I don't know, Stiles says thoughtfully.
You should have killed him, Cora persists. Stiles gives her a look that's almost pity.
I'm not a killer, Cora. Not unless I have to be.
And, Mac calls out cheerfully from the back of the crowd, if he calls Papa Stilinski at the sheriff's department, maybe we can get the phone number and use it to find out all sorts of things about him.
Yeah, things that wouldn't matter if he was dead,
Cora retorts.
Killing Ennis won't get rid of Deucalion any faster, Stiles says, and shakes his head. It's done. Let's get back to the house.